This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Well, love it or hate it, yeah, it indeed is April Fool's Day. Are you a fan or a foe of all of the foolishness? 606 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com. Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Topic of my Facebook question du jour. You can find me on Facebook at Mornings with Gail. So are you a fan of April Fool's Day? And are you typically the prankster, or are you the one that's punked? Would you rather that, well, with everything else we've got going on these days, we just all take a pass on April Fool's Day? Or do you think it's just so much fun? Well, it is one of the most hijinks-laden days of the year. But did you realize its origins are, well, pretty sketchy, pretty uncertain? Some see it as a celebration related to the turn of the seasons, while others seem to believe it stems from the adoption of a new calendar. So from info.com, this is a piece by David Johnson and Shmuel Ross. Now, apparently, ancient cultures, including those of the Romans and the Hindus, they celebrated New Year's Day on or around April 1st. Closely follows the vernal equinox, March 20th or March 21st. And in medieval times, much of Europe actually celebrated March 25th. This was the Feast of Annunciation at the beginning of the new year. So way back when, in 1582, you had Pope Gregory the 13th. Well, he ordered a new calendar. I guess he can do that, of course. The Gregorian calendar, to replace the old Julian calendar. The new calendar called for New Year's Day to be celebrated, you got it, January 1st. And that year, France adopted the reform calendar and shifted New Year's Day to January 1st. Now, according to a popular explanation, many people either refused to accept the new date or they just didn't really know about it. You know, we didn't have the interweb at that point in time, and they continued to celebrate New Year's Day on April 1st. Well, needless to say, let the New Year's shaming begin. Other people began to make fun of those traditionalists, sending them on fool's errands or trying to trick them into believing something false. Eventually, the practice spread throughout Europe. Well, there's problems with this explanation. The first is that it doesn't fully account for the spread of April Fool's Day to other European countries. The Gregorian calendar was not adopted by England until 1752, for example, but April Fool's Day was already well established there by that point. And the second, well, we don't have any direct historical evidence for this explanation whatsoever, only conjecture. And that conjecture appears to have been made more recently. Now, we have another explanation of the origins of April Fool's Days. This was provided by Joseph Boskin. Now, you'd think Joseph Boskin, being a professor of history at Boston University, knows a little something about what he's talking about, right? He explained that the practice began during the reign of Constantine when a group of court jesters and fools told the Roman emperor that they could do a better job of running the empire. Constantine, well, he thought that was pretty darn funny. So amused, he allowed a court jester named Kugel to be king for a day. Kugel passed an edict calling for absurdity on that day, and the custom became an annual event. Now, explained Professor Boskin back in 1983, in a way, this was a very serious day. In those times, fools were really wise men. It was the role of the jesters to put things into perspective with humor. again, this explanation that was soived up by Professor Boskin was brought to the public's attention in an Associated Press article printed by many newspapers in 1983. But there was only one catch. Boskin made the whole thing up. Took a couple of weeks for the AP to realize they'd been punked as victims of an April Fool's joke themselves. Now, it is worth noting that many different cultures have had days of foolishness around the start of April, give or take a couple of weeks. The Romans had a festival named Hilaria. Hilarious it was. On March 25th, this rejoicing in the resurrection of Attis. And well, maybe there's just something about this time of year where we turn from winter to spring that lends itself to pranks and tomfoolery. And that's no joke. So how do you observe April Fool's Day? Would you rather we just fast forward to April 2nd, or do you take part in all of the hijinks? 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our 1310 KFKA text line. By the way, we do have a new number if you are new to our texting family. If you are part of our texting family, have been for some time, we appreciate that. Love your thoughts, your perspectives, your insights, no matter where they might fall on the spectrum. Nothing has changed for you. But if you're thinking about joining our 1310 KFKA texting cohort, we do have a brand new number for you. And the first time you use that number, simply text KFKA to 970-478-1301. And then bada boom, bada bing, you can text away with a wild abandon. All right, no joke. Serious question. Do you want a big government welfare state? We're $28 trillion in debt. So, oh, what the heck, right? It's just funny money anyway. And we're just going to kick that payment can on down the road to some extent. Although, should these rather ginormous spending plans of President Biden's come to fruition, we're going to be feeling the impact from a tax standpoint. Do you realize, as he introduced, it's Infrastructure Week, by the way. Happy Infrastructure Week to you. Let's build back better. But as he introduced that rather ambitious jobs plan yesterday, put it into perspective and think about this. The middle class will pay for the largest tax increase since 1968. Oh, and did he really say the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, did he really say that global leadership is up for grabs? Yeah, I watched this entire presser, so you didn't have to. That was a head scratcher for me. What, is he just going to soive it up on a platter and say, hey, you can be a leader. You can be a leader. I'm going to abdicate here. And it also begs the question, is he taking the Chinese threat seriously enough? I wonder, though, as he asks the question, if global leadership is up for grabs. It wasn't a question. No, it was a statement of fact. Gotta wonder, will that leadership go to the highest bidder? Perish the thought. We'll get into that in just a few. 6:15 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, this time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, bringing you an amazing production of Little Women, April 8th through June 6th. Just jump online for tickets and show information. Visit ColoradoCandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, Broadway in your backyard.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. The Live United 1310-a-thon is on April 22nd. Donate up to $100 and you could win a signed Von Miller helmet. Go to unitedway-weld.org/1310-a-thon or text KFKA, all caps, to 26989.
Well, that seems to be the underlying narrative of this Biden administration as the spending blowout continues. Question is, who's going to pay for it? Well, I think you already know the answer to that one. 620-1 now, 1310-KFKA, 1310-KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's voice. So you had Joe Biden touting his American jobs plan this during Infrastructure Week. Yay! I love celebrating Infrastructure Week. How about you? Well, this American jobs plan was announced yesterday, calling for $2.25 trillion to be raised primarily by increasing the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28% and the global minimum tax on U.S. corporations from 13% to 21%. It's meant to improve infrastructure, shovel-ready jobs, and pump money into manufacturing, transportation, renewable energy, and, of course, one of the pet causes of the Democrat Party, combating climate change. Needless to say, didn't take long for former President Donald Trump to weigh in, calling President Biden's jobs plan a monstrosity that would be among the largest self-inflicted economic wounds in history. Hey, but we'll have charging stations all across the country for all those electric vehicles. I mean, there's that, right? Well, here's the thing. It's real easy to announce yet another cost-free, which I put in air quotes, cost-free spending blowout. It becomes a little bit more problematic when the bill actually comes due, and it is coming due with yesterday's proposal for the largest corporate tax increase in decades. And I have to agree with the Wall Street Journal editorial board. It's a big question we've been bandying about for quite some time. Can we finally drop the pretense that any of this is moderate or unifying or bipartisan? Oh, please, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, hold the line on this one. But I think the pressure is going to get pretty darn intense for him to go along to get along. So Mr. Biden's corporate tax increase alone is more than $1.5 trillion over 10 years with another, I mean, that's only phase one, with another $1.5 trillion coming soon or on individual income and investment. That's about $300 billion a year. So think about it, just to put it into perspective. Think about it this way. Mr. Biden's corporate increase amounts to the restoration of the Obama-era corporate tax burden, only on steroids. The GOP tax reform of 2017 was designed to fix a corporate tax system that was pretty uncompetitive and, well, more than a little convoluted. Companies paid taxes in countries where they earned the income. But then again, if they returned the money to the U.S., trillions of dollars piled up overseas. Remember, there was something called a string of corporate inversions? Okay, we'll break that down into readily understandable language. That is when CEOs took their money and their headquarters to friendlier business climes. We're talking about overseas. Now, those inversions, that move, that exodus, all but ended after 2017 as reform lowered the top corporate rate from 21% from 35%, moved the U.S. closer to a territorial tax system in which income is taxed where it is earned. Now, calculations are that companies repatriated $1.6 trillion from overseas to the U.S. from 2018 to 2020, which they deployed for a variety of useful economic purposes. The repatriation total, in case you're keeping track, 3 years before reform, only $495 billion. All right, so you got President Biden wanting to raise the corporate tax rate back up to 28%, but that's the least of his proposal. Oh, he also wants to add penalties that would make inversions, you know, scurrying off to sunny shores overseas, would make inversions punitive, and he'd also impose a global minimum corporate tax of 21%. Well, guess what? This would shoot the tax burden, which would be passed along, let's not kid ourselves here, on U.S. companies back toward the top of the developed world list. At least 9 major countries have cut their corporate tax rate since 2017 to include France, Sweden, and the Netherlands. Now, no doubt you have heard the common refrain, and it's nothing more than smoke and mirrors, political fakery. The narrative that claims that, well, these corporate taxes merely fall on CEOs and rich shareholders. Again, let's punish the rich. Let's punish those who are the job creators. We're talking about CEOs in this country. But as everybody knows, though it's not oft talked about, when you're selling a boondoggle of this magnitude, corporations don't really pay taxes. No, they're vehicles, corporations are, for collecting taxes that are ultimately paid by some combination of customers through higher prices, workers getting lower wages, and shareholders in lower returns on investment. But the real question is, how much of this latest example of spendapalooza will pass Congress? Tax increases are so extreme, they tended to give Democrats like Joe Manchin room to demand changes and then claim victory before voting for increases that would still be enormous. Note that the White House increased the magnitude of the increases at the insistence of the congressional left with absolutely no input from Republicans. So much for unity, so much for bipartisanship. Joe Biden, concludes the Wall Street Journal, he wants to pass an FDR agenda on a Donald Trump mandate. And I totally agree with their final assessment, says the Wall Street Journal editorial board. We hope he gets the furious resistance he's inviting. 6:30 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com. Mornings with Gail via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. All right, go send, givesendgo.com. This is the world's largest Christian fundraising site. It's using its platform to raise awareness for a lot of good causes, including adoption. Oh, but it's coming under fire. We're going to talk to GiveSendGo.com founders Jacob Wells and his sister Heather Wilson when they join us at 6:35.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Volleyball and baseball coming to a Preps broadcast near you on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
GiveSendGo.com is the world's largest Christian fundraising site, and it uses its platform to raise awareness for a lot of great causes, including the importance of adoption and compassion. So why is it right now firmly under the microscope of our ever-so-busy cancel culture? 637 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studio. Joined this morning by founders of GiveSendGo.com, Jacob Wells and his sister, Heather Wilson. Jacob, Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gail.
Good morning, Gail.
It's great to talk with you. So what I want to do is set this up, because let's talk a little bit about the backstory and all the good that GiveSendGo.com is doing. And then we'll get to those that want to cancel your compassionate efforts.
Sure. Well, GiveSendGo was founded by Jacob and I and another sister back in around 2015, and with the whole goal to share Jesus, the hope we know is found in Jesus with the world. We know people need to raise money for all sorts of things that happen in life, but we also believe that there's something bigger than just money that we are needed, and that is a relationship with Jesus. And so we said we're going to start this campaign, I mean this crowdfunding site, so that people can start campaigns to do great things in this world, to share hope with one another. And so that's how we started, and we saw lots of churches and missions trips and people coming to our site, adoptions and medical bills, and really neighbors helping neighbors, which is why we started to begin with.
And as you said, it's not all about dollars and cents. It's about the heart and the fact that we are social beings and that we need that connection. So when did you find this site? When was the site founded? And can you give me an estimate of some of your success stories?
Sure. So the idea came in the end of 2013, 2014, and it was developing the site, laying the framework for it. 2015, we soft launched middle of 2015. By the end of 2015, we did our official launch. So basically, 2016 was the kickoff. And since then, we've just seen continuous growth year over year. It's been an amazing journey of just constant growth and it happened to now spread to 40 countries around the world and engaging people all over the place.
And we've seen great success stories, you know, from the very beginning. I remember one of our early on biggest campaigns was a fire that happened, which is tragic. A mom and some of the kids died in the fire, a dad and a couple of the kids survived the fire, and it was tragic. But what we saw happen, because tragic things happen in our world, but what we saw happen is that the whole community came together and raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for this family to be able to get through this and share just that hope. It's not even, like you said, about the money. It's when you know that people are there to support you, to help you through these tragic situations that will happen. We've seen this man, John DeGarmo. He has raised lots and lots of money for a boys' home. He does foster care. He's an expert teacher on foster care, and he used our site, and he's raised lots of money to develop this this home for foster boys. And it's just really exciting to see, you know, how GiveSendGo has been used.
641 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Jacob Wells, Heather Wilson, co-founders of GiveSendGo.com. All right, it's not enough to cancel Dr. Seuss and, well, that entire litany, but somehow, some way, you have managed, GiveSendGo.com has managed to attract the attention of the cancel culture mob and, of course, the mainstream media. My understanding is you spoke with a PJ Media on the mainstream media's efforts to label you as a haven for outraged Trump supporters. You had USA Today publishing this lengthy story on crowdfunding sites being used by accused insurrectionists in the January 6th Capitol riot to raise legal funds. So take us through this particular maze.
Well, you know, this really started back in September, at the end of August, September of 2020. A young man named Kyle Rittenhouse was involved in an altercation in Kenosha, Wisconsin, following the George Floyd situation and some of the riots and civil unrest that ensued after. And Kyle Rittenhouse was deplatformed everywhere. And the big tech oligarchs out there did everything that they could to shut down any alternative viewpoints around that situation. And somebody moved that crowdfunding campaign because other crowdfunding sites had shut it down to GiveSendGo. And we believe that there are fundamental principles to our society, and some of those are the presumption of innocence until proven guilty and due process. Foundational principles that, as a country, give rise to much of the greatness of who we are as a people and the success we've had as a country. And there's been an intense attack to remove that from our judicial system and just judge according to public opinion. And we don't want to follow along with that. So we let Kyle Rittenhouse have his campaign, and it became very successful, and it pushed us into this much bigger sphere of being looked at, and from that all the way down up into January 6th and some of the campaign owners that raised funds to go to the rally January 6th. None of the campaigns on our site had any illegal or raising funds for anything illegal. And then after the effect, the USA Today article really pushing back against people raising funds to provide a defense for legal defense for the situation that they found themselves in on January 6th, which our platform, again, we try to stay out of the politics of it. We just say, listen, if you're raising funds for legal activities, and we don't believe that economic privilege should be what determines people's ability to choose their own lawyer, we believe that people, if they want to engage their community in fundraising for the legal situation that they founded themselves in, then it shouldn't just be people that have lots of money that can afford their own personal private attorney. But everybody should have that opportunity if they can do that in raising funds. And so we've allowed campaigns from all of those, from a lot of those people that have been found themselves in a difficult situation because of January 6th to use our platform. And it has really put us in a crosshairs right. of the left media, because we're standing for fundamental principles of what our country was founded on.
And the entire message seems to be getting twisted. I mean, this, as you have mainstream media reporters seeming to brag about getting accounts taken down on sites like Venmo and PayPal, and you're finding yourself now in those particular crosshairs. But Heather, it shouldn't be twisted. You're not condoning violence by any means.
Well, yeah, we aren't. And it was fascinating to read that USA Today article, and that somebody actually, you know, we've kind of learned that the press, as much as they're supposed to be, you know, the news is supposed to be not pushing an agenda, when you read that and you see, we gave to this one and then we reported that they allowed it, and then we gave to this one and we reported they allowed it and they shut it down, and we're like, okay, let's not hide our bias at all. They're out there to try to get people shut down for things that they deem unacceptable. And a country founded on just people's opinions in the moment, their feelings in the moment, that just takes away freedom. we say this is 100% opposite of what we're doing. We want people to have the opportunity to speak freely, to share their side, to not be judged in that court of public opinion, the mob mentality that just grabs onto something and goes with it, whether there's truth or not behind it. We say, no, we're going to allow people to raise money for legal fees. Again, not a popular opinion, even though it's a foundational aspect of our country. We're going to allow that with the whole goal of sharing hope with people who are in a hopeless situation. We're not trying to judge whether you deserve or you're worth raising money. That's not our job, because we believe everybody, even if you've made a horrible, horrible mistake, there's some redemption power in second chances. We believe so firmly in that we don't want to take that away from people.
So where does it all stand as far as the future of GiveSendGo.com? I mean, once again, you find yourself under that laser-like cancel culture microscope.
Yeah. So in January, we had 700 complaints filed against us with our the server company that we've used. We've had people, the mob, reach out and try to cancel our payment processing systems. And what we've done is we've just continued to build up strong defensive posturing and systems and redundancies in place for our platform to be able to weather these storms. Because we were inundated when some of the news articles came out about PayPal trying to cut services with GiveSendGo and Discover Card cutting services with GiveSendGo and some of these payment institutions. We were inundated with payment solution experts reaching out saying, how can we come along and help you? So there is a whole other industry side that is willing to support platforms like ours, what we're doing. And we're utilizing that. We're coming. Our development team is creative, and we're developing alternatives and our own structures to be able to prevent what we've seen happen to other social platforms in their canceling. So we've gone on the offensive by building our defensive structures.
Mm. You know, imagine that. You actually have people that still believe, Heather, as you noted, in one of the foundational principles of this nation, and that is a freedom of expression. How refreshing is that?
I know. It is, you know, and what we find is the mob that seems so loud, because when we allowed Kyle's campaign on our site, we got thousands of, we hope you burn in hell, like, you are horrible, you racist, you white supremacist, you know, like, just like, we're going to just send as much hate mail as possible. And when we would reply, because we had some replies that we would just say, okay, thanks for your opinion, so many of them were not real emails. So you have like one person sitting at a computer sending out a million emails trying to make it sound. And what we found is that the voice can be loud, the mob voice can be loud, but there's a whole other group of people that say, no, we also believe in freedom of speech. We also believe in freedom of expression. And they say, we're going to stand behind you. And you know what? These campaigns wouldn't raise any money if there weren't givers that wanted to support them. Bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Jacob Wells, his sister Heather Wilson, founders of GiveSendGo.com. Do us a favor, keep us updated on your progress, and thank you for standing up for what is right and doing so many great things for so many.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, Gail. Thank you for having us.
You bet. Take good care. 651 now, 1310 KFKA.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA. The day's headlines, podcasts of Mornings with Gail and more, and a schedule of upcoming sports broadcasts. Find them at 1310KFKA.com.
Pretty excited. The Boys of Summer are back. Yes, it is opening day for the Colorado Rockies. Dodgers are coming to town and at Coors Field, opening day today. Tell you what, we're going to check in with KOA Rockies insider and veteran Major League Baseball scout Ed Henderson and get his take on what this season is going to look like. Hey, here's a good thing. Fans allowed back in the stands. Well, some fans. Something has to do with a capacity variance of 42.6%. That means about 21,363 fans will be on tap and in the stadium today for the Rockies opener. But by the way, if you're not among them, well, you can enjoy all the excitement as, once again, the Boys of Summer take the field. Opening day for the Colorado Rockies today, right here on 1310 KFKA, as coverage of the game begins at 1:30 with the first pitch at 2:10. But stay with us this morning as we kind of kick around what the Rocky season is going to look like and what KOA Rockies insider and veteran Major League Baseball scout Ed Henderson is looking forward to for the year ahead for our own Colorado Rockies. All right, coming up, we got a lot of local news to get into this morning, a lot to cover, so we're going to get you up to speed on everything you need to know. And ruh-roh, looks like Joe Biden's dog back in the doghouse. Yeah, Major biting once again, and oopsie, one of them left a little gift behind. Yeah, we'll have the details in just a few. 1310 KFKA, Greeley, Loveland, Longmont, Fort Collins, closing in on 7 o'clock.